legionnaire, I'm not sure how you pronounce that, but focus on the Word made flesh. All together, we confess the mystery and wonder of God.
Testing 1, 2. Okay, thank you. All right. I'm excited to have my club with me today. This is Kevin up here. He's going to be bringing the word and sharing some stuff with us. Good friend and brother, Zeke and his wife, and Kevin's wife. And we've got another fellow in our club who Thursday was called into work, so he couldn't be here today, but his wife joined us, so we're happy to have her with us. So we'll be out in the foyer area here after the service, so you can come meet us. We have some goodie table. We've got key rings. If you want a key ring, they're free. If you want a support shirt, yeah, you're going to have to dig into your wallet. how much of the club are you explaining? Are you going to be doing a lot of that? Okay. All right. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to Kevin, and he's all set mic'd up. So say hi, Kevin.
Good morning. Am I all set? Yeah, I can hear myself there. So I'll tell you a little bit about Soldiers for Jesus. I know you've probably known Steve for a long time, and I don't know what he's told you. I'll give you a little bit about it. And I know you know a lot of people who ride. I know there are a lot of people who ride in the church. So basically, Soldiers for Jesus is a motorcycle club. A motorcycle club is a little different than a riding club or an association or a motorcycle ministry, in that we wear something in the motorcycle community that's considered earned, and that is a three-piece patch. So you notice the back of the vest, it's got a top, it's called a rocker, bottom rocker, the colors in the middle, and an MC cube on the side. That is what's known as a three-piece patch, and you don't just throw one of those on and go riding around. You know, you get permission, people learn who you are, and they get to know you. And that started in 1990 in Anaheim, California. From Anaheim, California, it spread east, because if you go west, you end up in the ocean. But we have chapters in Nevada, we have chapters in Oklahoma, Tennessee, North Carolina, Florida, Texas, South Dakota, Michigan, Minnesota. Should have paid more attention to that geography class. I'm trying to run through all the states, and I'm just not getting them all. From there, the club's also expanded. We are what they call an international motorcycle club. We have chapters all through South America, from Mexico, Panama, Costa Rica. Brazil just opened up a chapter. We have chapters in Belgium. We have chapters in the Netherlands. We have chapters in South Africa. So we are an international motorcycle club. And with that, to get into a motorcycle club, there are a few things that you have to do. One is you hang around. Everybody's heard that term or seen it on TV or whatever. A hang around means you're just hanging around the club. You're getting to see what it's about. We're getting to see what you are about. Should that phase of the process go well, the next phase is to prospect. Prospect is the educational phase. It's where you learn the club's rules and regulations. It's where you are instructed in the history, the officer positions, and all of those things that go with it. And we are governed by a set of bylaws that have to be known and memorized by the prospects. When you get to the end of that time, you're voted in to become a member. You don't just become a member, you have to be voted and accepted, and you earn the right to wear the patch. So that's kind of a little synopsis on how it goes. But part of that is what God laid on my heart to share with you today. To get into the motorcycle club, to even go through any of those steps, there's two things that have to take place first. The first one is you have to know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. That's first and foremost. We don't take people in without that. The second really important thing, because it's a motorcycle club, is you have to have a motorcycle. Okay? We've had people want to join that don't have motorcycles, and that's great that they want to get out there and they want to share the word, but a motorcycle is a prerequisite because of that. This picture that you're seeing there was taken this year. We went down to our East Coast rally down in Nashville, Tennessee. We stopped along the way and we rode the tail of the dragon, and that is taken on one of the curves in the tail of the dragon. If you ride a motorcycle, it's something you should put on your bucket list because it is a blast. It's only 11 miles long, but it looks like one of your kids drew it because it's got 318 turns in that 11 miles. So it's a lot of fun. It's considered the most dangerous road in America. That's because people won't get out of your way when you're zipping through it, but it's fun. It's a lot of fun to do that. I've had the pleasure of being in Soldiers for Jesus for a number of years, and with that, I've also had the pleasure of running prospects at some of our national events, at the East Coast Rally, out at our national out in Colorado. I get to quiz all the prospects. As I said, prospecting time is a time of learning. When you get our bylaws, they're several pages long. On the very first page is our mission statement. And that's what I want to share with you today. Because this mission statement, to me, without it, everything that we do is a waste of time. If we don't start here, then what we do as a club, what we do as brothers and sisters for Jesus Christ, is a waste of our time. And let me read it to you. I'm going to read it to you now. Basically, it says, the mission of Soldiers for Jesus is twofold, but it is not limited to. First, bringing the word of God to other motorcycle clubs and bikers. And secondly, witnessing of Christ's glory to other motorcycle clubs and bikers by evangelism, actively witnessing to the miracle of Christ's saving grace, and discipleship, training God's word and encouraging in faith. This is the most important thing to me. If someone who wants to get into the club because it's cool and they think it looks cool and they want to ride a motorcycle, that's the wrong reason. Our mission statement says the reason you want to get into the Soldiers for Jesus is first off to bring the word of God to other motorcycle clubs and bikers, and second is witnessing of Christ's glory while you're riding that motorcycle to those motorcycle clubs and bikers. We do it through evangelism. The second word right after evangelism is actively witnessing, not passively witnessing, actively witnessing. And then discipleship, training them up in the word. Now, what this has brought me to, this has brought me to a passage of scripture which is probably very familiar to you. I will go through it, but I want to say one thing before we get into the word. It's important that you understand that what I have to say here today are not my words. So you're going to see me flipping through the Bible because it's important that you understand it's God's word. He said it, not me. He's just put me up here today. We got lucky. Steve's pastor couldn't be here. He said, hey, do you want to do it? And I said, no, I don't, but I will, because I don't believe in coincidence. I don't believe in karma and all that stuff. If you believe God is who he says he is and is in control of everything, then for some reason he put us here today. I don't know what that is. I may never know, and that's okay, as long as I follow his leading and I'm here. So we're going to dig into four or five verses. If you have a Bible, if you don't have a Bible, does anybody not? I mean, like, you don't own a Bible. I know a lot of you didn't bring it with you today. But if you don't own a Bible, please let us know. We have soldier Bibles. Part of what we do is we have a New Testament drawn up. It's fantastic. It's got a lot of explanation in it. It's got Bible studies in it. It's got all of these things. So I'm not going to put every verse up on the screen. So if you do have a Bible, get it out so that you'll see and be able to go back to these. So the first verse we're going to start with is Matthew. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. We're going to go to the last chapter, chapter 28, and it's going to be verses 19 and 20. What this is it may be familiar with you. It's considered the Great Commission. Christ has been crucified on the cross, and he's been raised for that, but he came back and he met with the disciples. And this is the very, excuse me, it's been humid all summer and I can't handle the first dry day we have. This is the very last time he's going to speak with them face to face. think of this. Before we read this verse, put it in context in your mind that Jesus was here on earth. He spent time with his disciples. He died. He rose again. And this is the last thing he's going to say to them before he sees them face to face. What picture do you get in your mind? It was a very emotional time. Knowing what we've heard about the Lord is probably a very passionate time as well. So with that in mind, if you were seeing your kids for the very last time, and you had something that you wanted them to understand, would you say it passionately? Would you say it emotionally? Because the next time you're going to see them is when they're in heaven. That's what Jesus is doing here. This is hard for me. Some of you may know this, but some people in this room have been through this recently. And there were passionate things said. There were emotions shed. This is what Jesus is doing here. So let's read the scripture. Matthew 28:19-20. It says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So I found a nice little slide of a gas tank that had it up. It says, "Therefore go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." I couldn't find one that had verse 20 in there, but teaching them. This is the last thing he wanted them to understand. This is the last thing that he had to say to them. It was a very compassionate and emotional time where he said, "Go." Jesus said go several times throughout his ministry. He was always going. He was region to region, town to town. He was all over. But he was instructing us to go. If you remember Luke 10:37. In Luke 10:37, it's the very last verse in the parable about the Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan, we've all heard that story. And I won't spend a lot of time on it, but Jesus said at the end of it, "Go and do likewise." He didn't say, "When you have a chance, give it a try." He said, "Go and do likewise." Luke 14:23. Again, Jesus is speaking, is at the end of a parable about the great wedding feast, where he called people in. He put the invitation out there and nobody came. So what did he tell them? "It's like this church. The doors are open. You can come in any time." He said, "Nope, go. Go and compel them to come in." It's one of my favorite slides. A little blurry, but Luke 14:23. "And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Still got reflexes like a cat, I'm telling you. So Jesus was always on the go from town to town. He told us to take up our cross daily and follow him. He's the example we need to follow. What's interesting in Matthew, he says, I think I put that slide up. It says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." This is what I think all nations means. All is a pretty simple word. Nations means people. We are commanded to go and spread the word to all nations, all peoples. Now, my nation may be different than your nation. Your sphere of influence, your circle of influence in this world is different than my circle of influence. And that's awesome. And that's great. And that's the way God wanted it. It doesn't say, go and speak to one nation. It says, go and tell this to all nations. So it's important that we all do this and that we all follow this. Do you know what your nation is? If this is a commandment from God, do you know who you are supposed to go and make disciples? You're called just as we are. I mean, we ride a motorcycle to go get our witnessing done. And we walk around with fancy colors on and things of that nature. But basically, God has commanded us to do this. And the interesting thing is, you know why he has commanded us to do this? Because of John 14:15. Simple. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's pretty simple. If you love me, he said, Jesus said this. You need one of those red letter Bibles, and it's got it in there. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will go and make disciples, baptizing and teaching them. The verse has got a lot of stuff in it. And I went to college. When I went to college, I didn't know what I wanted to study. And I went to Moody Bible Institute. And I knew I wanted to play basketball for them, and I knew I wanted, didn't know what I wanted to do, but you had to sign, your second year there, you had to sign up for a major. You just couldn't take regular classes and get through. So I saw a bunch of people over in the communications line, and I'm like, hey, what are you here for? Oh, well, I want to be a sportscaster. Oh, I want to announce this. Oh, I can do this. So I got in that line, and then I got all my classes. I thought, man, this is great. I want to play basketball. I'm going to be a sportscaster. This is going to be fantastic. And then I got it, and I went, well, wait a minute here. I get English 101, and then I get English composition, and then I get English. Where's the microphone classes? Where are all the communications classes? But God had a purpose for that. And it's this verse here. It says, go baptize and teach. Go baptize and teach. The commandment is to make disciples. Go baptize and teach are participles that are used to describe aspects of the process. That's a tough one. What's a participle? A participle is a form of a verb that is used in the sentence to modify the noun phrase. So go baptize and teach are used to modify how we are to make disciples. It took a whole year of college to figure that one out. Okay? So break it down. First thing is, God has commanded us. He commanded the disciples very, very passionately, and the last thing he had to say to them, go to make disciples. How are we going to do this? First, you're going to go. They're not going to come to you. How many people come walking up to you and go, hey, dude, you with the Jesus thing on, can you tell me about him? Or do you go to them? First thing he said was go. They're not going to come to you. And the thing is he commanded us to go. He didn't say, someone else will do it. You know what? Someone else will hit Durham. Someone else will hit Brunswick. Someone else will hit Gray. No. He looked at his disciples and said, go to all nations. And he said it to each one of them because each one of them spread out when he left. And they went to different nations. You, each one of you serves a different nation than I do. It's probably the first time some of you have seen me. Hopefully it's not the last. But we're to go. We're to go to our audience. We're to go to our circle of influence. Then what are we to do? Then we're to baptize them. How are we to do this? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. What's baptism? Baptism is an outward show of an inward commitment. That's what that is. Baptism is an outward show of an inward commitment. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if I'm standing here and I don't have any of this on, how do you know? You haven't seen me do anything. Maybe you've heard me speak today, but that's where baptism starts. Baptism is an outward commitment. Like right now, you see all throughout, we're coming into an election time. And if you drive by my house or if you drive by someone's house and you look at it and go, you know what? I don't know who he's going to vote for, because he's going to vote in private. He's going to do it privately. But if I take that sign for governor and I put it out there on my front lawn, now when you drive by my house, that's who he's going to vote for. And he's saying, I should vote for that person too. Baptism is saying, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Here is my sign. You should do that too. That is what that point is. Then after that, it says you are to teach them. We are to pass along the instruction and knowledge that we have. What I hear a lot of times from people is, man, I don't know enough. I don't know enough to pass it on. You know enough to pass it on to the people that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to bring into your path. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. I went to a Bible college and learned how to dissect a sentence. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to pass on your knowledge. You have to be personable, and it has to be from the heart. So don't just get them to the doorstep. Don't just get them baptized. Don't put the notch on your Bible and walk away. You're instructed to teach them. Take them under your wing. It's very rewarding. The last part of the verse I like as well. And it's interesting how he sets it up. At the end of verse 20, it says, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, I don't know what "lo" means. I read that as, and hold on. Don't just go running out the door to do it. Remember this. I'm going to be with you when you're doing this. You're not going to have to do it alone. Because that's me. I get charged up. I run out before I hear that very last instruction. Sometimes you miss an important part. And Jesus says, hold on, Kevin. Because he knows it's going to be hard. He knows it's going to be tough. And he's saying, hold on, remember, keep this in the back of your mind. I'm going to be with you always as you're doing this. So what is your nation? What is your circle of influence? Your family, your friends, your co-workers, the people you run into at Hannaford? How are you fulfilling this commission? How are you fulfilling this commandment from God to them? Can you answer that? Are you going? First off, are you going? Are you sitting here waiting for them to come to you? We're never commanded to stop going. You don't read about retirement from this commandment. This is the very last thing Jesus had to say to the disciples before he would speak to them again in heaven. He didn't say, go for a while. Aren't we glad that Jesus didn't stop serving? Let's think about this. If you're calling yourself a Christian and Christ is your example, you should follow his example. What did he set for an example? He never stopped going. He went town to town to town. He never stopped instructing. He never stopped spreading the word. Remember this. He was hanging on the cross with two other guys, and he was still witnessing to the guy beside him because that man made it into heaven that day. He didn't stop. Have you stopped? Have you said, I've done it long enough? Time for somebody else to take over? I've heard Christians say this, and it troubles me. Jesus is the example we need to follow. Think of it this way. Jesus was going, baptizing, teaching. Everything that it says here. In making disciples, he was going, baptizing, teaching. We've heard John the Baptist. He was going, he was baptizing, he was teaching. The disciples, going, baptizing, teaching. the Apostle Paul. How many missionary journeys was he going on? He was going, baptizing, teaching. It keeps going on and on and on. So if we follow that example, somebody will look at us and see that we're going, baptizing, and teaching, that we're out there making disciples too. So if we follow Christ's example, as the disciples followed Christ's example, as Paul followed their example, the history will continue. The legacy will continue on through that. So what does making disciples really mean? It's very simple. It means you are actively pursuing others to tell them about the kingdom of God. However you want to term that. You're actively telling people about the love Jesus has for them. You're actively telling people about salvation. Or as, like it says in Luke, you are compelling them. I like to think of it that way. I do think it's okay to put a little bit of pressure on somebody. Baptizing. The baptizing, in the verse, it says, you're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is to show us, this shows us the Trinity and the Father, Son, Holy Spirit thing. But it shows us an easy way for some of us to make disciples. I want you to think of this. How do you witness to somebody? How do you start the conversation? There's a couple of ways you can do that. We think of God the Father back in Genesis and creation. Okay. That's an easy way to start a conversation with somebody. People who ride motorcycles love to ride them up in the mountains during this time of year in the fall and the foliage. You'll see foliage runs everywhere. In the summer, they like to ride them beside the oceans. It's cool. It's beautiful. Maine is a beautiful state to ride in. So, with that, start talking about God the Father. Explain to them what the Son did. And that when you get them to that point, that they're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This, the filling of the Holy Spirit is a tough one, but this is an awesome slide I found a while ago. And we're going to turn to a verse in 2 Timothy 1:7. Because this says, oh, you thought that because I left the street life and started studying the Bible and serving God that I must be weak. It says, nah, bro, God didn't give me a spirit of fear. Like, oh, yeah, that's a pretty cool slide. 2 Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and discipline. Remember what he said in the very last of Matthew? Lo, I will be with you always. That's where the power is going to come from. You're not going to have to do it alone. You're not going to have to do it alone because God's going to be with you, but you're not going to have to do it alone because you've got brothers and sisters in Christ that are here to lift you up. Why are we to do this? Well, we're to do it in love. As we know, John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. When guys come into the club, just as they're starting to get to the very end of that prospecting period, I set them down and I have a talk with them because it's very, very important to me that they understand this. And I think sometimes as Christians, it's important for all of us to understand this. When they're coming into the club, I don't want them to be a clone of myself. I don't want them to be a clone of Steve or Stan or Dana or anybody in the club. I want them to be them. God has called you to him for his purpose. Only you and he know what that is. There are people that I will reach for Jesus Christ that Steve can't reach. The good part is, there are people Steve will reach for Jesus Christ that I can't reach. And Stan. Because we all have our sphere, our circle of influence. And God has called us to reach all nations. I can't reach all nations. Remember, when he said that phrase, he wasn't talking to just one person. He was talking to the disciples. Okay? And he says, "Lo, I will be with you always." So God has called us as individuals. God needs you. He needs you for your smile, your personality, for your heart, for your emotions, for the circle of influence where you can be impactful for him when nobody else can. So don't not go. Don't say somebody else will get to those people over there. That may be your nation he has called you to. Go. Get out there. Get on a motorcycle. Get in your car. Whatever it takes, go. Make disciples. Tell people about Jesus. Get them baptized. Don't let them go after that. Take them under your wing. Share with them the gospel you have. Because I'll tell you this, we have a Bible study in the club, and when you're studying the Word of God, because you have to share it with somebody, I think you get more out of it than that person does. When I'm studying the Word of God and I know I have to put on a Bible study and I'm sweating because it makes me nervous, like I'm sweating today being up here in front of you guys, it's hard. But when I get into the Word, it's amazing how God says, "Yeah, you think you're doing this for other people? Nah, you need to pay attention to what's in here yourself." And he humbles me all the time. So, my challenge for you today is this. It's very simple. In your circle of influence, in the life you're living, in your nation, make a mark for Jesus Christ. Leave a legacy. You know, we talk about soldiers for Jesus. We talk about what's your soldier legacy going to be? What are people going to say about you when you're gone? I had to do a funeral yesterday. And all the people there, you know what? You don't know who has affected your life until they're gone. There's a brother here from Las Vegas who lost his sister last year. I never met her. I prayed over her a few times. Steve and I were there. That woman left a legacy. People came in and out of that room for the days we were there. Everybody had something to say about her legacy for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying she was Billy Graham, you know? There weren't millions of people got saved by her, but there were people that came in there and she made a difference in this world for the Lord Jesus Christ. It was heartbreaking, but it was inspiring at the same time that that woman did that. She left a legacy, will you? Is your life right now being impacted on somebody else? Are you not going? Are you not making disciples? Are you not teaching others? Are you keeping all of your Bible knowledge to yourself? Because we've been commanded, John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will get in your Bible, you will go to Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, and you will go. You will make disciples, you get them baptized, and you will teach them as the Lord has commanded you. And when it gets tough, you will remember, God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power. He has empowered you to do this. That is my challenge for you today. Leave a legacy. Make an impact in your circle of influence in this world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Only you can do it. I can't do it. I can't come down to your motorcycle shop and make an impact there. You can. You're there every day. Your place of work, your place of business, where you get your gas. Don't think I'm saying you all got to go start a church somewhere. That's not it. He didn't say that. He said, go make disciples of all nations. In your circle of influence, the nation that you touch every day, make disciples. Tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. Share the knowledge you get out of this Bible, and it will be very, very rewarding to you. So please, Jesus will give you the Spirit of power. He will be with you. Call upon his promises in those verses. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. It is always a good time when we come before you humbly. Lord, your word says where two or three are gathered together, you are there. Lord, I pray you are with us today. May we take the words that you have given us, nothing that I have said, but the words in your Bible that say, go and make a difference in this world. Go and tell others. Go and do likewise. May we not get stagnant. May we not get lazy. But may we be on fire for you. So that when we do see you face to face, the first words out of your mouth will be, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, we call upon your promises now. We thank you for this time. Bless it and use it for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Am I on? Yep. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate that. Good word. We're going to do one last song. So if we could all stand and worship. This is a great song, I Will Rise. It's one of my favorite ones. When he calls my name, I'm going to rise. No more sorrow, no more pain. I'm going to rise on eagle's wings. Hallelujah. A microphone. Thanks. Let's just close in prayer and fellowship. We're going to be out in the foyer by our table out there, so come out and say hi and get to know my guys. Lord, we thank you again for this day that you gave us. Thank you for this time of entering into your presence and worship, hearing from your word, being challenged by your word. Pray that we would not just leave it here as we go, but we would accept the challenge and that we would go and make disciples and do what you have called us to do and be your disciples. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.